Lord and Savior. Amen. I usually begin my little talk with some jokes. I don't have any today, sorry, but I do want to tell you about a real honor and privilege and pleasure I had this past week to visit one of our shut-ins. First time I'd been able to see him in 18 months, because he happens to reside in Sunnyside Manor. And not only was it a privilege and a pleasure to be with him for the first time in 18 months, but also because on Saturday, he's going to be 101 years old. And that is Bob Mueller in the back. And Bob is here today. This is very, very awesome. So I just wanted to share that with you. So if you'd like to congratulate him, just stay 6 feet apart or something, you know. Wear that mask. Oh, by the way, if you're not wearing a mask in church today, that means you've been fully vaccinated, right? Okay, we want to make sure about that. And the other little item of business that I forgot to mention in the beginning is when the boys are being confirmed and things like that, pictures are fine so long as you sit and don't use a flash. Okay? All right, no problem. Good. So, we're going to do things a little different this morning. I'm going to talk from here, and hopefully the battery will last all service long, because I'm a Lutheran, it's going to get every single volt out of this battery. So we're here for confirmation on the day of Pentecost. That's usually how Lutherans have done that. We've associated confirmation with the Holy Spirit, because anybody being confirmed is going to need the Holy Spirit going forward in their lives. All right, just like they've needed him up until today, they're going to need him afterwards. After doing this for the many years that I've done this, I'm really tired of calling it confirmation. Because confirmation basically means what, folks? Graduation. Because now I get to be a member. Ooh, and you know what that means? I'm done. I don't have to come back. I don't have to do anything. I know it all. Kind of. And I'm good. I'm a member. So, last couple of years, including today, what's going to be on the screen there when the boys are being, quote-unquote, confirmed, I'm calling it the rite of commissioning as opposed to the rite of confirmation, all right? Because what this day is about is not just simply, hey, I'm a member. What this day is about is, hey, I have a task to do. I've got a job to do as part of the adult fellowship of my church, okay? This is a commission you guys are getting today, all right? Not just simply a membership certificate. You're getting a commission today. I don't generally call this the rite of commissioning out there and, you know, in public because people have no idea what that means, all right? It's almost, I don't want anybody to get the idea of we're going to take these two boys and send them into the mission field. Oh, my gosh, no, they're too young. So I call it confirmation because people know what that is. But it really isn't. It's really a commissioning. It's really being given a task in the world as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So I kind of want to go over that with you just real quick, all right? Because in a couple of minutes, they're going to come up here, and I'm going to read some nice words, and they're going to say some nice things, lots of I do's and I will's, and then we're done. But I kind of want to go over that with you so that you understand what the words mean. All right, so they aren't just simply nice words, but they're meaningful words. So I'm going to begin by addressing both of you as children of God, and then I'm going to quote Jesus, who said, right before he ascended into heaven, it's like his last words, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We call this something, this passage from the end of the Gospel of Matthew. We call this the Great Commission. And that's why this is a commissioning, because what this is about is fulfilling these last words of Jesus. All right? He has given the church a commission. And the commission that the church has from Jesus is not to make members. That's where we sort of have fallen on our face for the last couple of decades or even generations. because we've been happy making members. This is not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to make disciples, okay? When we stop making disciples, we stop being church. When we make disciples, we are fulfilling the mission of the church. And so we do it how? We do it by going, by baptizing, and by teaching, okay? So the baptism you guys have been through, and you've had 2.5 years of me doing the teaching. I hope you learned something along those lines. Hopefully some will retain. And most of all, what you need to remember in here today is that Jesus is going to be with you always to the end of your life. Okay? He's always going to be with you to the end of your life. All right, so the next thing I'm going to say is when you were very young, your parents brought you to be baptized and promised to bring you up in the true knowledge and worship of God. You don't remember that, but that's what they did. That's what they promised. Okay? This means that they raised you in a Christian home. They brought you to church and Sunday school. They gave you a Bible. And they taught you the basics of God's story in the Bible. At least they did to the best of their ability. Hopefully so. Okay? And then for the last few years, they've enabled you to study more deeply the basics of the Christian faith as they are explained in our small catechism. So today, then, we, your brothers and sisters in Christ at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we are your friends. Okay, we are your family in Christ. We are going to rejoice with you. This is a great day for us. Not just for you guys, because you get to have a party and stuff like that. This is a great day for us. Because you are ready to publicly embrace the Christian faith as your own. All right, that's what coming up here today is going to be all about. Up until today, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa may have had something to do with that. As of today, this is yours. This is your baby. This is your faith. This is your journey. This is your relationship with God. And we rejoice in that. This is a great day. We also rejoice with you because you are ready to join us in fulfilling the great commission of Christ to make disciples of all nations. Okay? That's why this church exists. If we don't exist to make disciples, we don't need to spend all this time and money being open. The only reason why we spend all this time and money and effort being open as a church is because we make disciples of all nations, of all people. And so we pray God's blessing on your confession and on your commitment. Not only what you're going to say you believe, but also on what you say you're going to do. Your confession and your commitment. And then I quote Jesus again, who said earlier in his ministry, "Whoever confesses me before people, I will confess before my Father in heaven. Whoever denies me before people, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven." Okay, so that's why we do this in public. Okay, we do this in public in front of a church because this is part of your public confession. Now, this is you acknowledging Jesus in front of us for yourselves. Okay, that's how come confirmation can't ever be private. It can only be public, okay? And if we were a fundamentalist church or a non-denominational church or things like that, we'd have you come forward and do the altar call and so on and so forth because we do these things based upon these words of Jesus, whether it's confirmation or an altar call or things like that. So therefore, lift up your heart and voice. I'm going to continue to the God of all grace before this gathering of believers and gladly and confidently answer what I will now ask you in the name of Christ. As his servant. And so then I start asking the questions, and you're going to have the answers with you because the answers aren't hard. The questions are hard. Do you acknowledge the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that God gave you in your baptism? You don't remember that day, but that was a huge day because you were by nature a child of wrath, a child of God's anger, even though you were all sweet and cuddly and innocent. But you were by nature a child of God's wrath, and by baptism, you became a child of God's grace. You became a child of God's mercy. You became a member of God's family. You began a relationship with him. He began to live inside of you. Your parents didn't always see him inside of you at home, but he was always inside of you from your baptism. So you got forgiveness, you got life, you got salvation, you got family, you got an inheritance, you got all kinds of stuff in your baptism? And the answer is very simple. Do you acknowledge? The answer is, I do. I hope you do. Second, I'm going to ask you, do you renounce the devil and all his harmful works and all his selfish ways? Because that's what the devil does. The devil always takes everything that is good in this world and perverts it into something self-centered and harmful. And it's very easy to fall into those traps. We talked about this, like, maybe it was even last week, because they sound good. The devil gets people to do really stupid, harmful, evil, selfish things because it sounds good. So we want to renounce that. We want to put that away from us. So the answer here again is simple. I do renounce them. And then I'm going to ask you, do you believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as confessed in the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed? See, in the old days in confirmation, I'd have you say the creed up here. But we're not going to make you do that because we just did it together. So therefore, I'm going to ask you if you believe in that God. There's only one God. Okay? Depending upon what religion you subscribe to, you believe that that's the God. Well, we're Christians. We believe the only one God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Always has been, is now, and will be forever. Do you believe in that God? And the answer is simple. The answer is I do, and I hope you do. All right, here comes probably the most difficult question I'm going to ask you. Do you intend to faithfully continue in this Christian confession and church? In other words, in this faith in the one true God, and to suffer anything, including death, rather than fall away from it. In the early church, that was a big deal. Because in the early church, if you were a Christian, if you believed in this three-in-one God, they could do all kinds of things to you that were really bad, including throwing you into the arena for the lions to have supper, or maybe lunch, depending on when the show was for the spectators. You know what else they did to Christians in the arena? They covered them with pitch and set them on fire. Okay, that was for the evening show, all right, not for the matinee. Well, we don't live in that kind of country yet. We live in a country moving in that direction, okay? We live in a country where there's more and more pressure being put on us to deny the faith, to deny our principles, to deny our faith. This question is the most serious one that you have to answer. Will you suffer anything rather than fall away from the faith? And that's why this answer is a little bit different. This answer is, I do, with the help of God. Okay? Every single one of us is going to be asked that question from time to time. You guys, it starts today. All right, then we do some kind of little inventory. Do you believe all the books of the Bible are the inspired and trustworthy word of God? The answer is simply, I do, because I hope you do, that the Bible is the word of God. Okay? No secrets, no mysteries. There's some mysteries, but there's no secrets about it. Do you believe the teachings of this Evangelical Lutheran Church, of which Good Shepherd is a part, which are drawn from the Bible as you have learned them from the catechism, to be faithful and true to the Bible? Yes. Do you desire to be a member, a communicant disciple? I changed the word member. One of the least helpful words in the English language when I come to church. Do you desire to be a communicant disciple of Jesus Christ in this Evangelical Lutheran Church and this congregation? The answer is easy. The answer is I do, but I hope you mean it. I really don't want you standing up here lying, okay? Do you intend to conform your whole life to God's word so that you may be the light of the world and the salt of the earth? See, that's the only way it's going to matter. That's the only way it's going to make a difference. If we conform our lives to God's word, that's how we get to be the light of the world and have an impact in people. That's how we get to be the salt of the earth and give our society flavor. We talked about this in Bible class this morning. Right now, our society is being flavored with all kinds of godless, secular crap. We as Christians get to counter-flavor it. The only way we can counter-flavor it is if we are conformed to the word of God in our lives, how we live, how we speak, how we think, what we believe. Will you be active in growing your faith by regular attendance and worship? and receiving communion in personal and group study of God's word and in prayer. Those were among the four major marks of the early church. We looked at that in Bible class this morning. The early church was characterized by being devoted to fellowship, which means worship, the apostles' teaching, which means Bible study, breaking of bread, which means communion, and prayer. Those four things, they were devoted to that. I'm asking you if you're going to be devoted to that from today on your own, not because mom or grandma said so. Okay? So the answer is I will with the help of God. Will you seek and seize opportunities to bless and serve those who are in need, both in word and deed, so that Christ may make disciples through you? You're going to be running across a lot of people in your life, and you already are in school, who are going to be in need. They need friends. Okay? They need companionship. They need understanding. They might need some correcting. They might need some wisdom. They have various kinds of needs. Are you going to be the one that's going to step in and help them? Even if those kids are unpopular. Even if later on in life those people are looked down upon. You guys are going to be the ones to step in and help people who are in need. I will with the help of God. And I hope he does. And then finally, will you trust God with your life and your future? Seek his guidance and direction, confident of his presence and mercy for as long as you live. Well, the answer says, I will by the grace of God, and I hope you do. Will you trust God with your life and your future? Will you seek his guidance and direction? Because you're going to have some decisions coming in life. One of these days, you might find a girl you might be interested in. Oh, Lord, is she the one? Or is she the one, or is there another one? What am I going to do with my life? What kind of way will I serve God in the world? Okay? What do I do when I want to be a Christian, but I really can't because of ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta? So we need to seek his guidance and direction. We need to trust him with our life and our future because he's the one who's got us. Okay? So, and then there'll be some other stuff, but we'll save that for later. This is basically the introductory part and the questions and their meaning. I hope this was helpful. I hope this made it, you know, a little bit more clear for everybody, including you guys. So now it's time to listen to your faith in your own words, your own confession, in your own words. This was me talking a lot. So I'm done, and we're going to have Logan go first with his essay, all right? Your essay time, and then after that will be Nick. Sir, right up there.
To me, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 means freedom. Jesus states, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This sentence means the most to me because God has granted us freedom, has accomplished this by way of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Another reason why I chose this verse is the message that it sends. That message to me is God telling us that we are free from evil. He will take care of us and provide protection from those who mean to lead us astray. Furthermore, he will strike down all evil forces that continue to surround and try to influence us on a daily basis. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus states, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." I also believe that it means God is in charge of us. He is in charge of our actions, thoughts, and our decisions. Why does this matter? Because without God in our life, we would never be forgiven from sin and would live our lives apart from him.
Thank you. All right, Nick, come on up. Right here.
Hello, my name is Nick, and I'm here today to talk about my confirmation verse. Now, I could have chosen from 31,102 different verses, but I chose Psalms 31:14, which says, "But I trust in you, O Lord, I say you are my God." This verse is important to me because it explains that through troubled times, as long as you believe in God, he will get you through those times. This verse helped me through some tough times in middle school, going through my year and a half at my old middle school, where I had to deal with kids picking on me and my friends. Whenever this happened, I thought about this verse and knew that God was there to help me through this. It even helped me through some rough patches in my new middle school, where I had to find new friends and still deal with some kids who picked on me. From what I've seen through these past years, this verse has helped me through my time as a freshman in a new school, knowing absolutely no one. Now to explain the verse even more. Verses 11 through 13. "Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I'm forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life." This explains my troubles in middle school, my paranoia, and the stress of it all and trying to get good grades. In these verses, David is like me, paranoid about his enemies and lonely, like I felt through every day dealing with these kids and not having anyone to stand by me and put an end to it. Verses 15 through 18 explain, "My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servants. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak errantly against the righteous." This explains the present and how I'm dealing with it now, as well as the future and how I'm going to deal with it down the road. In these last few years, verses, David is talking to God and asking him to put an end to this madness and make everything right again. This is exactly what I did, asking teachers and my parents to help me to see what they could do to put an end to the situation. This is why I chose this verse, because it relates to me the most and explains that it is normal to have challenges like this, and that is all parts of God's plan, and there is a reason for everything.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's always good to hear the faith of the confirmants in their own words, isn't it? More than just simply answering all the questions I'm going to be asking, but to hear their faith in their own words. So we're going to continue now with our next song, which is actually a prayer for the confirmands, and then we'll have the rite of commissioning immediately following that. And this is without a vocal, right? So it's going to be a musical track, but you're all going to have to sing, but I think you'll recognize the melody.